Dozens of states across the U.S. have some form of school choice. Now Kentucky voters will decide if the Commonwealth should join that list when they cast their ballots for or against Amendment 2. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Today we're going to talk about what the constitutional amendment would do if passed and hear from a supporter and an opponent. And later in the program, we'll hear from a reporter who's been covering the issue. Joining me now are Kentucky Senate Majority Floor Leader Damon Thayer, a supporter of Amendment 2. Thanks for being here, Senator Thayer.
You're welcome. I appreciate you having me on.
And Kentucky Center for Economic Policy founder and executive director, Jason Bailey, an opponent of the amendment. Welcome to the program, Jason.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Senator Thayer, you're a supporter of Amendment 2. Explain what this amendment will enable state lawmakers to do if it passes and why that's important to you.
Well, it's very simple. It will allow future General Assemblies to pass legislation relating to parental school choice. And the reason we put this on the ballot this fall is in recent years, the legislature passed a scholarship tax credit program, which would allow the children of low-income working families who right now can't afford to send their kids to private or parochial school. It would give them an opportunity to do that. We also passed a charter schools bill. Charter schools are public schools that operate outside the usual set of rules for our public schools. Both of those bills were struck down as unconstitutional by our Supreme Court. Basically, the Supreme Court told the General Assembly that it needs to change the Constitution in order for those bills to stand up to legal muster. So if the Amendment 2 passes, it would allow future legislatures to revisit things like scholarship tax credit programs for the children of low-income working families and charter schools. In most cases, these are schools that are going to be located in our urban and suburban areas like Louisville, Lexington, Northern Kentucky, although it certainly wouldn't preclude it from happening in rural parts of the state. But that's it. Quite simply, it would authorize the legislature to deal with legislation that it's already passed in future years. It doesn't make any funding decision. It doesn't change any policy right now. It just gives future legislatures the chance to do that.
Jason, you oppose Amendment 2. Explain why.
Well, the amendment as written is really a sweeping and actually quite radical change to the Constitution. So for the first time in 133 years, it would allow the General Assembly to fund private schools with public dollars. And it does that by suspending seven sections of the Constitution, sort of notwithstanding those sections, while in order to allow this funding to happen. That really overturns our strong founding commitment to funding public education as the priority. And it really opens the door to what we see happening in some other states that the proponents of Amendment 2 point to as models, which are very expensive and exploding costs for private school voucher programs. You see states like Florida spending $4 billion now on private school vouchers, over $1 billion in Ohio and Arizona. And that will be money that will be diverted from our public schools. And it will hurt particularly our rural areas where, as Senator Thayer pointed to, there really aren't private schools. And yet those schools have much lower local property wealth, and so they really rely on those state education dollars to fund their schools. The funding of private school voucher programs will take money away from our public schools that 90% of Kentucky students attend. We're already not doing enough to fund those schools that are open to everyone. And so it will make it harder for low-income kids, it will make it harder for rural kids, and it will mostly fund families that are already in private school. We see that in other states that have voucher programs. About 70% on average of the families that receive vouchers are already enrolled in private school. These families tend to be better off already, and they're paying for this now, but they would receive a windfall if we were to create a voucher program. The amendment doesn't put any guardrails on who can benefit, how high their incomes are. It's very broadly written, and it really allows Frankfurt politicians to do whatever they want with the diversion of public money to private schools.
Senator Thayer, I want to get your response to that, because in your answer, you didn't mention vouchers, but that's certainly a direction many other states have gone. Do you think that this would allow state lawmakers to divert tax dollars from public schools into private schools through either a voucher program or these other avenues that you talked about?
Well, it's not something we've addressed in the 8 years that Republicans have held the supermajority in Frankfurt. Vouchers really aren't even on the table. And, you know, to be honest with you, Lucy, Mr. Bailey and his cronies in the Defenders of the Status Quo group, they really ought to be embarrassed, because they're using scare tactics to try to get people to vote no, because the easiest thing to do on a ballot referendum is to vote no. So they're really trying to scare people into voting no. First of all, there have been absolutely no discussion of vouchers in the 8 years Republicans have held the supermajority in Frankfurt. And I would know. I'm the Senate Majority Leader. I'm in every conversation. Second of all, I was very transparent up front about what future legislatures would consider. And it would be the two things we passed already, which are scholarship tax credits for the kids of low-income working families and charter schools. Thirdly, our Republican supermajorities are extremely pro public education. As a matter of fact, in each of the budget cycles that have taken place since we took over the supermajorities 8 years ago, Republicans have year over year after year put more and more record funding into public education. Mr. Bailey knows this, but he's the kind of guy who we could put 100% of our tax dollars into public education, and it still wouldn't be enough. They want more and more and more of the state budget. When, as a matter of fact, we have put record funding into public education, and I suspect we will continue to do so. And part of that, by the way, is the full funding plus billions of dollars on top of what's required by law for our public pension systems for our teachers. We have one of the best retirement plans for teachers in North America. Another point I'd like to make: in your intro, you said there were dozens of states that offer school choice. As a matter of fact, it's way more than that. Kentucky is one of only two states that doesn't have some form of school choice option for students. And the problem with Mr. Bailey and his crew is what they're really trying to do is defend systems instead of helping students. And this amendment would lead to legislation that would help students. You're still going to see 90 to 95% of Kentucky kids go to well-funded public schools. But, you know, it's not right for every student. It's not a perfect fit for every student. Also, some parents would like to have perhaps a Christian-based education, and they would choose a private or parochial school. And those that can't right now don't have an option. If Amendment 2 passes in the future, that could be an option for the kids of low-income working families to go to a public or parochial school. And the wailing and gnashing of teeth over Amendment 2 to try to confuse the voters, It's really quite extraordinary when you look around America and you see inner city schools in New York and Baltimore and Cleveland and Indianapolis. These are heavily minority, heavily Democrat cities where charter schools are in place, and you've got these minority kids benefiting from charter schools and private schools and parochial schools. As a matter of fact, one of the biggest places where charter schools are a success is New York City, and it's funded by former Mayor Mike Bloomberg, one of the biggest well-funded liberals in America. So it's really extraordinary and a bit disappointing, but not surprising, to see defenders of the status quo aligned with the Democratic Party in Kentucky focusing on trying to defeat this amendment. People need to know that this amendment has been endorsed by President Trump, who is a strong supporter of parental school choice for our kids and their parents.
We're talking about Kentucky Amendment 2, a constitutional amendment that, if passed, would allow state lawmakers to pass school choice legislation. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100 or email talk at wvxu.org. Jason, I want to give you a chance to respond to that. What about this argument that, you know, public schools aren't right for every child?
Well, you know, I think what is being referred to as the status quo is actually the heartbeat of many communities. If you go to any rural county in Kentucky on a Friday night, people are going to the football game. They're going to the band concert during the week. They're supporting the cheerleaders. They're and getting involved in school activities. The public school is where 90% of Kentucky kids attend. It's also the schools that have to accept those kids with the greatest needs, those ones that have special needs or special learning disabilities. Those are the ones that are accepted by our public schools and have to be served by them. A private school doesn't have to do that. And what you see in other states when they allow these private school voucher programs is that those schools, those private schools don't become accessible to low-income kids and the kids who most need them. Because for one, what we typically see is the private schools increase tuition after vouchers pass, and the voucher is not enough to pay for the difference in the cost of education at a private school. Those kids also have to have transportation in a lot of cases to get to those schools. The private schools don't offer that transportation. What it does is it provides a windfall to wealthier families already attending private schools. And in Kentucky, a private school family makes about $52,000 a year on average, more than a public school family. So what it's going to do, and what we're seeing happening in other states, and the trend in the last couple of years is toward vouchers, and specifically universal vouchers, is that the costs are exploding and the money is coming out of the public schools that do now and will in the future continue to serve the vast majority of children. So we're going to, if we pass Amendment 2, we're going to widen the divides that are already weakening our communities. We're going to enrich families that are already doing better off. The majority of private schools in Kentucky are located in three counties, Fayette, Jefferson, and Kenton County. And 75 counties have no private schools at all. So they're just going to lose from this amendment. And, you know, the way this is written, again, it is a complete open door. There's no guardrails being put on what's spent. There's no guardrails on who benefits. And these are permanent changes to the Constitution. So no matter what any past General Assembly has or hasn't done, and by the way, the tax credit program that was passed was a voucher program. It was just routed through the tax code to try to avoid the constitutional prohibition on funding of private schools. The state Supreme Court saw through that. That's why they struck it down unanimously. So it is a voucher program. But, you know, this opens the door to the General Assembly to do whatever they want, whenever they want. And so I think Kentuckians need to pause before they make such a sweeping and indeed radical change to the Constitution that overturns 133 years of commitment to funding a system of common schools with tax dollars. And that's the last thing I'll say here, is that these are tax dollars. So the level of public accountability should be much higher. But what this does is allow it to be used at private schools that aren't going to have that level of accountability, that aren't going to have that level of reporting inherently to our elected officials and to the public.
We did get an email from Jessica. Jessica writes, I have two high school seniors who will be graduating next spring, one from a public school, one from a private school. I will be voting no on issue 2. My husband and I worked our butts off to pay for that private school. At one point, the two of us worked a combined 5 jobs. That was with the financial aid we qualified for. If giving your child a private education is a priority, then working and paying for it yourself must also be. I want to get your thoughts on that, Senator Thayer, and also your thoughts about these guardrails that Jason mentioned. I know you said past General Assemblies have not looked at vouchers, at least under the name of vouchers, but this wouldn't preclude that in the future, would it, if Amendment 2 passes?
It would not, but I would, you know, remember the story of Chicken Little, the sky is falling? That's what Mr. Bailey and his crew on the far left of the political spectrum do all the time. And they've been on the losing side of policy debates for a long time in Frankfurt now. So I'm accustomed to these arguments. And the fact of the matter is, does he really think that the legislature would pass programs without guardrails? For example, the scholarship tax program set aside $25 million to help families like the lady who emailed you with a scholarship tax program. So she and her husband don't have to have five jobs. And this argument that it's public dollars for private use is specious, meaning it sounds true, but it is in fact blatantly false. We use public dollars for private institutions all the time. We fund Pell Grants. We fund Medicaid. We fund scholarships to go to schools like Thomas More and Georgetown College. There's a taxpayer-funded scholarship program for kids to go to private colleges and universities in Kentucky. These arguments are just scare tactics from the defenders of the status quo who don't want any competition for our current public school system. And I would say, based on the test scores that we continue to see coming from most of our public schools, they're pretty mediocre. And in the states that have parental school choice, not only have test scores gone up, but so have teacher pay. Competition will lead to better results for students and teachers.
I promise that I wouldn't keep either of you too long because I know you're busy. Jason, I want to ask you, what's your kind of closing argument to voters? Why do you say they should vote against Amendment 2 in just about a minute or so?
Well, and you know, the proponents of this are having to use the exact opposite arguments of the truth to make their case, like that it will increase teacher pay. There's nothing stopping the General Assembly now from increasing teacher pay. They are just choosing not to. This amendment, if it were to pass, would overturn our commitment to funding a system of common or public schools and open the door wide to an unlimited funding of unaccountable private schools. It will divert money from rural schools, from the public schools that serve 90% of Kentucky children, and widen the divides that are already weakening their communities. It will be a windfall to families that are already in private school and is a path that is busting the budgets of states like Arizona and Ohio and Florida and North Carolina, and is not a path that Kentucky wants to go down if it wants an education system that is open to everyone and that provides an equal opportunity across the state.
Senator Thayer, what about you? What's your closing argument in a minute or so?
This is all about the kids. Competition is good for kids. It will make their education better. It will give low-income working families the opportunity to not have to work five jobs to send one of their kids to a private or parochial school. The General Assembly in Kentucky and its super majorities will continue to be very pro public school and not do anything to harm public schools. Public and private parochial schools can exist in a symbiotic relationship that's good for the kids. Again, you're not voting on any immediate policy. You're just voting to give the people you elect to the General Assembly the future ability to implement programs like this that we have passed before, that nobody was very upset about, but that the Supreme Court said requires a change in the Constitution. And I urge people to vote yes on issue 2 because it's about a better education for our kids.
Okay. We do have a caller on the line. Hi, Alicia. Thanks for your call. What's your comment? Very quickly.
Quickly. I'm a public educator in Ohio, and I've seen how this has eroded the public school system, allowing public funds to go into private and charter schools. And also, Louisiana no longer has public schools. It's all charter schools, and they have one of the worst school systems in our country. So I would hate for Kentucky to go down this path as well.
Thank you. Appreciate that, Alicia. It's a voice of a public school teacher who has strong feelings here in Ohio. I really appreciate the conversation we've had today with our guests. I've been talking with Kentucky Senate Majority Floor Leader Damon Thayer and Kentucky Center for Economic Policy Founder and Executive Director Jason Bailey. Thank you both so much for your time today.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having us on. Have a great day.
You too. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We just heard from a supporter and an opponent of Kentucky Amendment 2, which, if passed, would empower state lawmakers to pass school choice legislation. Joining me now is Kentucky Public Radio Capitol reporter Sylvia Goodman, who's been covering this issue. Welcome back, Sylvia.
Glad to be here. That was an interesting conversation.
Yes. Well, I want to ask you about a few things that came up. One of the things that came up was that Jason Bailey kept talking about vouchers and what vouchers have meant in other states. Senator Thayer said lawmakers in Kentucky have not been trying to create a voucher program, although he acknowledged that Amendment 2 could happen if Amendment 2 were to pass. Jason Bailey responded that legislators tried to create vouchers under another name. What is this? Can you tell us a little bit about this program that Jason Bailey was talking about, and does it look like how vouchers work in other states?
So what Jason Bailey was referring to is called the scholarship tax credit, and it is not exactly the same as vouchers. Basically, what these tax credit scholarships do is it allows individuals and corporations to contribute to a scholarship fund in exchange for a tax credit. In Kentucky's version, it was basically one-to-one. So basically, if you donate to this tax credit program, you don't have to pay taxes for the same amount, essentially.
And you donate to a scholarship program, you get that taken off your taxes, essentially.
Exactly. And families can then apply to use those funds. So you can see that's different from a voucher program where basically the state says you get a certain amount of money and you can take that wherever you choose, right? You can take it to your public school, you can take it to your private school. It's a little different in that it's based on this pool of people who choose to donate to the fund, right? However, the Supreme Court in Kentucky did rule that regardless of that choice element, perhaps, it still is an example of taking tax dollars, and instead of it going into the general fund pool, it goes to private schools. So it's still counted as you spending tax dollars on private education, which our Constitution currently forbids.
Another thing that came up was funding for public schools. Opponents of Amendment 2 argue that, hey, this will take money away from public schools. Senator Thayer said that the Republican supermajority has put in a record level of funding to public schools. What did you see during the last session in terms of funding for public schools? What was the debate and the result of all that?
Sure. I mean, this is a really contentious kind of issue, and it has to do with what numbers you look at in a lot of senses. So, for example, Senator Thayer and a lot of Republicans will point to like 1990. They'll compare today's funding to a few decades ago in 1990. And if you adjust for inflation, yes, the General Assembly spent more on education this year than they did several decades ago. However, Jason Bailey instead will point to something like 2008. So a more recent number when Democrats still had control of some of the state legislature. And in 2008, if you compare it with this year, 2024, the funding is lower when you adjust for inflation. So it really is kind of a numbers game, though. When we're talking about raw numbers, yes, this is record education spending when we're not adjusting for inflation and making those calculations. But one of the big topics, and you heard Jason Bailey referring to this, is teacher pay, which is a big issue of Governor Beshear's, Democratic governor of Kentucky. And he and other Democrats have called for several years now for a across-the-board raise for teachers. In fact, this year he called for across-the-board raise for all school personnel, including bus drivers and other people. So essentially, they want that to be across the board. The state legislature that is controlled by Republicans have said that, well, we're just going to put more funding into this formula that we have in Kentucky called SEEK. We'll put more money into that formula. It'll go out to schools as normal, and they can choose to give raises. However, for a couple of years now, school boards have said they're not getting big enough amounts through that SEEK formula to give any significant raise beyond like a 1% raise or something along those lines, that they need more funding through the formula if they're expected to do that.
What else jumped out at you during that conversation? Was there anything else that you thought would be helpful to kind of explain or clarify as you heard them talking?
Yeah, you know, it was right at the end there, so it's kind of sticking in my mind. I think Senator Thayer mentioned that, you know, there wasn't a lot of upset about those two programs that he mentioned, the previously passed laws that got struck down by the courts, charter schools and that scholarship tax credit. I should note that there was quite a bit of upset about both of those programs, especially the scholarship tax credit. If I'm remembering correctly, I think quite a few, especially rural Republicans, joined with Democrats to vote against it. And in a legislature where I think it's 75% Republican that year, now it's higher, but at that point it was 75% Republican, I think it was almost, it was just like by 4 or 5 votes that that managed to pass. So it's definitely, it is a partisan issue and Republicans are the biggest proponents. It is definitely not completely on party lines. Many rural Republicans are fearful of what school choice could do to their schools and do not support Amendment 2.
And what is there anything else we know about what state lawmakers intend to do if this passes?
I think it was kind of really wrapped up well in that conversation in that we don't know exactly what they can do. We can look at what the legislature has done in the past, although I think it's worth noting that they were doing those things while also knowing that the Constitution is worded pretty clearly that private funds can't go to public funds can't go to private schools. So that may have tempered some of their efforts in the past, and you know, without that restriction, they may go further. I mean, it's unclear. But also, I think it's 100% true. This amendment doesn't actually do anything immediately, right? It requires legislation to pass in the coming years for any change to really happen. It just allows legislature to do those things. And Jason Bailey is also correct that many states, is a kind of a trend of the past several years. Many states have gone further and further with their programs to open it up to more and more families. I think it was last year, 6 more states expanded their voucher programs to be universal, which means there are no income limitations or things like that. So I think both of those things are true, and it's hard to tell exactly what our legislature will try to do. But again, it's not a totally partisan issue. There are many rural Republicans who would not join a vote for certain school choice measures, I think. And so that also kind of plays into the politics and the dynamics in the state legislature.
Okay. Well, I've been talking with Kentucky Public Radio Capitol reporter Sylvia Goodman. Thank you so much for your time today, Sylvia, and for helping us to put this into context.
Yeah, glad to be here.
Up next, we'll talk with film critic T.T. Stern-Enzi about new films that tell the stories of some of the biggest names in popular music. This is Cincinnati Edition.